join us online as we stream. You can catch any of our services on Facebook, YouTube, or at www.rdci.info. We might not be able to gather in the building, but you can still get to church. Stream on Sundays at 7:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Wednesdays at 12 noon and 7 p.m. And ladies, catch Women's Bible Study on Facebook, Fridays at 12 noon. Thank you for listening to the Direction for Life broadcast with Drs. Herbert and Marcia Bailey. We'd love to have you at any of our three campuses. In Columbia, join us at 3506 Broad River Road. If you're in Orangeburg, meet us at 990 Willington Drive. In Florence, join us at 1507 West King Avenue. For more information, including service times, visit rdci.info. We hope you enjoy today's broadcast.
Today's message is Crazy Love by Bishop Herbert Bailey.
1 John, the fourth chapter, 1 John 4. Let's start at verse 16 and then read verse 21 and 22 together. 1 John 4 says, "And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him, because he first loved us." Let's read together. "If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother, whom he hath seen, how can he love God, whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God, loveth his brother also." You may be seated. Amen. All right. Well, this series, we started off talking about believing in the love, believing the love. Then we went to this love, this is love. And it has evolved this week to crazy love. Crazy love. I went back. I said there was a song called Crazy Love. So I went back and tried to find it in gospel hits, but then it was McKnight. Crazy love. Yeah. Crazy love. Because we're talking about this love that God is requiring of us to have towards one another. Because we said that the love of God, it commands, it demands, and it compels a response. Such that that's why we read the scripture. We love him because he first loved us. His love for us compelled us, caused us to respond to his love. Because we love him, he first loved us. So we said when we believe the love, we get boldness, we get fearlessness. But then that we really believe the love of God he has towards us, that ought to generate love that we have towards others. Love begets love. "Let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God." So the Bible says if we say we love God and don't love our brothers, the Bible says we are a liar. Yeah, I found it interesting. I went back to catch up on my spiritual feedings for this week, and I was looking at doing the replay of Bishop Jake's messages the last couple of Sundays, and the same Sunday that I started talking about this with respect to our love towards others, he started teaching on the same thing from the same scripture in the message he called the blind side. The blind side, those areas of our lives that we don't focus on. Those areas of our lives that we think we're okay in, But it's a blind spot. That's what we call it, the blind spot. You know, you got to be real careful. I'm always real conscious about blind spots. So I don't, you know, some of y'all don't realize there's a certain area right in the back of an 18-wheeler. If you're riding by right beside it, it's their blind spot. I've had some drivers who are with me and they drive me and they just ride along. Right, I say, can you either get back or pass? Okay, do not stay in this blind spot. Okay. And sometimes this love area is a blind spot in our lives. And we don't really recognize that we have this deficit or this error in our lives that we need to work on. And the reason why I'm saying, because Bishop Jace, he said the Lord, he introduced a concept. He said a concept that he termed called spiritual saturation. Spiritual saturation. When he referred to that, he said, is the degree to which we let our spiritual relationship affect our behavior. So a lot of us, you know, we say we're spiritual, we love the Lord, but it hasn't quite saturated down in us to our behavior. And so this whole concept of loving other people because God loves us, and what's even more so what's demanded of the scriptures, in the way that God loves us, it requires some real spiritual saturation. In other words, what's in here really got to get down in here. Amen. It needs to get down. And which is why sometimes we still need to fast. Amen. Because this flesh, I ain't letting nothing saturate. This flesh says, I'm going to do what I'm going to do. And so to get a victory and authority over your flesh, fasting is a way of letting your body know that my spirit is in control. Amen. Fasting is a way to let your body know you don't rule me, I rule you. Amen. No, I'm not eating that. No, I'm not going there. No, I'm not talking it. It's a way to exercise discipline. I've been teaching this in our Bible study and saying it for the last couple of weeks, that as I study the scriptures, I realize, a lot of people in this era of grace, they don't like to talk about discipline because they think we some kind of way because we're under grace. You don't need discipline. But God created man to have discipline. The proof that God created man to have discipline is the fact that he put a tree, the knowledge of good and evil, right in the midst of the garden. In the midst means it was in the middle. It wasn't in the corner somewhere. It wasn't over behind a wall somewhere. It wasn't hid behind a rock or stone or mountain. It was right in the midst of it. In other words, on their way to get the grapes, they had to see that tree. On their way to get anything else, they had to see that tree. And God put it there intentionally and told them not to touch it. Why? Because he was going to get glory out of them having discipline. Come on now, can I tell you, if there is no other beautiful woman on the earth besides my wife, okay, and she's the only attractive being on the planet, then it doesn't show great discipline for me not to get with another woman. What shows discipline is that you could have choices. But I choose you. Come on now. God wants us to be disciplined and say, yeah, I've given you freedom of choice, but choose me. You can do what you want to do, but would you do what I want you to do? Come on, everybody say discipline glorifies God. And even in this area of love, we have to exercise discipline so we don't go around cussing folks out and cutting folks and retaliating against folks and rolling our eyes at people and saying stuff, there's a term I've learned the last couple of years. Some people are nice nasty. They don't directly cuss you out. They don't directly say something mean. They're just nice nasty. You know, Christians say nice nasty stuff like this. I'm just going to love you with the love of God. I'm going to love you with the love of the Lord. You know what that means? That means I really don't love you. But I know God loves you, so I'm going to try to work some of that in there. I'm going to love you with the love of the Lord, okay? Some people are nice, nasty. God don't want us to be nice, nasty. God just wants us to be nice, all by itself, amen? And so when we said crazy, the reason why I'm adding this term crazy to this discussion about loving others is because crazy, when we say crazy, we think of a mentally deranged person. Okay, a mentally deranged person. And it seems almost like you're mentally deranged to love people who don't love you. To do good to people who, like, do you realize what they have done? You know, it's like this dog just came after you and you had to fight him off you and then you go over and pet him. Okay? And it's like, now somebody said, now they must be crazy considering what that dog did or how that dog is. And yet God, some kind of way, expects us to walk in love with people despite what they've done. And despite who they are. Another definition of crazy, it means extremely enthusiastic. Okay? I was at a game yesterday, and Lord Jesus, y'all pray for the Gamecocks. Oh, geez, I don't know if I posted too fast. I think it was the beginning of the third quarter. I said, going good. I said, perhaps this out again. And then my next post had to be, well, what had happened was. Okay? They turned around. But people at a game, man, they will get crazy. I mean, they will grab somebody and hug you. Okay? They'll high five people they never saw before. They'll scream. They'll jump. They'll do dances. All the kind of stuff that y'all think we crazy that we do here for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. People can do that for somebody getting a touchdown. Come on now. And y'all think we crazy because we jump in church. Okay? Now, if we came up here, if I ain't gonna mention which brother, but we had a group of brothers who came down to church, and they had their shirts off and their face all painted and with J-E-S-U-S across the bellies. Jesus! Yeah, Jesus, dude! Jesus! Y'all think they crazy, but they can do that at the game and they're sane. Come on now. So it means quit. And so God doesn't just require us to love. He said, I need you to love people enthusiastically, despite what you feel. So we start looking at 10 indicators, and I may get to one more today. 10 indicators that the love of God is really growing in us, that we're growing in this God kind of love, that we have spiritual saturation, that we have this crazy love that God has towards us. And when I thought about that subject also, look at 1 John 3 and 1. Talking about crazy love. 1 John 3 and 1. It says, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us. 1 John 3 and 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us. He said, I ain't never seen a love like this. What kind of love is this? Behold, what manner, what great magnitude, what kind of crazy love the Father has bestowed on us, that we, yes, you, with your formerly, yeah, I'm going to say formerly, okay, reefer, herb, weed smoking self. By the way, y'all, a study came out this week saying for all of you casual, get high folks, okay, and I know you're here because I invited you. I told you to come. So I know you're here. I told you to come. I said, don't stay away because you smoke weed. I said, come on to church. And my job is to get you delivered. So it's all right. I know you're up in here. Okay? You need to understand, at the time that Pastor Marcy used to do that back, way back in the day. Okay? No, seriously. They said the stuff now is like 10, 20 times more potent. Okay? So this ain't no recreational, just get a little high, feel a little better, and eat some chips. I don't know, really, I don't know nothing about it. I just heard about all this stuff. Get the munchies and really, I have never smoked weed in my life. But I've been around and seen enough folks. I done had a contact, didn't mean to. I just happened to be on the bus. Gus. Okay? But, I mean, really, they're talking about even marijuana. It is mind-altering. They said, really, a study came out this week, and especially really, really advising young people whose brains and minds are still developing. I mean, even without weed, y'all still were being dumb and stupid. Just because your brain's not fully developed yet, how much more? Behold, despite what we used to do, how we used to act, how we used to live, I mean, that now God allows you to be called his child. He said, this is crazy love. And then the Bible says this. It says, scarcely for a righteous man will one die. He said, hardly ever if somebody was really a good guy. He said, yet for some people, you know, if he was real nice, some might even dare to. He said, but that's usually an exceptional thing. And yet God commended, gave his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, he didn't wait for us to get delivered. He did it without a guarantee we would ever accept him. He died for us and showed his love for us. This is crazy love, and that type of crazy love, enthusiastic, beyond the natural, almost seems unreasonable, demands a response from us, and that we love people. So number one, we said that if you are growing in this kind of love, you have patience with people, because love is patient, love is kind. Number two, we said you pray for yourself regarding people you have issues with. Not just pray for them, pray for yourself. God, help me to be more patient with. Father, help me to be loving towards them despite who they are. Father, help me not to hold grudges and hold this against them. You pray not just for them, you pray for yourself about them. And that's what David did in Psalm 51 and 10 after Nathan told him how horrible it was for him to have committed adultery with Bathsheba and then tried to cover up getting her pregnant by having her husband put on a front line of battle and having him killed. So at worst, he was a rapist, okay? And then at best, he became a murderer. And yet, he says to him, when David finds this out and realizes he's the person who's done this, because he didn't see it from God's perspective, because in back then the kings could have several wives. And don't be trying to claim you king, you royalty. Okay, that was in the Bible, in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, the Bible said, let every man have his own wife. And that word own, it really means one wife. Amen. Look at your neighbor and say, that was then, this is now. Whenever I teach that, I always got to go back there, because some people say, you know, in the Old Testament. Well, you ain't in the Old Testament. And so the king could have had any woman he wanted, as long as she wasn't somebody else's wife. And the prophet says, you could have had any woman, but not another man's wife. And so when David finds out and judges himself, he says in Psalm 51 and 10, create in me a clean heart. Renew, oh God, and renew in me the right spirit. He started praying about the other people. He prayed about himself. I often ask people that. You know, when you're dealing with depression, when you're dealing with burnout, when you're dealing with you had it to hear with people and you don't want, I often say to people, how do you pray for yourself? When I say how, I'm not talking about how is it possible. When I say how do you pray for yourself, I mean, what are you praying for yourself? Whatever you would pray for someone else, that's what you pray for yourself in that situation. A lot of us, we know how to pray for other people. We don't know how to pray for ourselves. If someone tells you, I got all kind of anger issues with somebody, you say, well, God, I ask that you help them. And Lord, give them a soft heart. Turn their heart towards you. And Father, we just rebuke anger right now. Do you pray that for yourself? However you would pray for someone else, pray for yourself. That shows you're loving, you're growing the love of God, that you pray for yourself regarding people you have issues with. You pray about your own feelings of jealousy, your own anger, your own resentment. Look at your neighbor and say, worry about yourself. Number three, then you pray for your enemies. That Jesus told us to do that. Mark 5:44, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. Pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute. It literally means to pray God's best for them. That's crazy love. Somebody you don't even, you know, I mean, if, now listen, I told you, this is what I do. And I judge myself. There are people I know who they have done nothing to me. See, because social media make you mad at people you don't even know. Come on. You know what I'm talking about. Really. Y'all going to act like y'all so deep. Social media will make you jealous of people you don't even know. It'll make you say negative things and you don't even know that person. Okay? Now, I know this because I judge myself in this area. I taught about all this. I taught about overcoming jealousy and all the kind of things. And I have seen things on social media that cause me to feel some kind of way. Oh. Okay, can you at least nod? Try to make me feel all convicted and condemned. I've seen stuff that made me feel some kind of way. I'm like, you know, they got all those people in the way he lived.
He's speaking at such and such conference with, okay, I don't even know them. Okay, I may know something about them or something I've heard, and it make me feel some kind of way. So what I do, anytime I'm feeling some kind of way, justifiable or unjustifiable, about somebody on social media, first of all, I don't have to be on social media, I don't have to see them. So I unfriend. Amen. I unfriend, I unfollow. What you following folks who make you mad for? Now, what you make me mad. I can't stand you. I can't stand. What? Stop following me. I just can't stand you. You think you something, don't you? You just go around. Stop following them. Look, Janae, say that makes sense. That makes sense. So if I've started feeling really, and I judge myself, I'm like, and I know I have no reason to be feeling this way. I don't know these people yet, whatever. And so I would unfollow so I would not see them or have to be conscious of them. Amen. I invited somebody, I was getting ready to invite somebody recently to do something. And somebody said to me, another pastor, said, that's one you unfollow because of such and such. I said, you know, I forgot all about that. Because they were no longer in my peripheral, it got out of my mind. Some things you can get over if you would just stop focusing on it. Something came out of my spirit. A couple of people have quoted it since. I think I said it on Wednesday night. That distractions is little things trying to get big attention. That's what a distraction is. And the devil will cause distractions in your life. Little things that you're trying to give you big attention. And while you're up here dealing with this little gossip, come on, you could be building a building. while you're down here dealing with this, man, you could be making millions. But it's a little thing that's trying to get big attention. And so Jesus said, go ahead and pray for them. Because if you pray for them, it'll get that stuff up out of you. Number four, this one I really want to deal with today. Don't retaliate. Everybody say, help me, Lord. You are really growing in the love of God when you make a decision not to retaliate. Because retaliation is a natural thing. But we got to be about this crazy love. Like I told you, I've seen it happen at least twice. Somebody went to slap somebody. First, it was the little boy at our church, Mother Betty. He was really a cute kid, too. He's a big man now. Okay, but he was a little kid at the time. He was really cute. And Mother Betty, my spiritual mother, my aunt, she was here visiting for one of our conferences. And she said, oh, look, you're so cute. And she said, what's your name? And she smacked right back. He smacked her in the face. And it sounded just like that. And she said, whose child is this? Just want to let you know. And she looked at him. She didn't get in his face that time. She said, you don't smack me. I don't care who child you are, how cute you are. You ain't cute no more. Another time, unfortunately, it was a pastor, the first lady of the church. She went to correct some sister in the church, and she smacked her. And when she smacked her, sister smacked her right back. She smacked her. And the first lady said, you don't smack me. She said, you don't put your hand on me. I'm like, she got a point there. You shouldn't have put your hand on her. I understand you're correcting her, but you shouldn't have put your hand on the sister. The clap back, the smack back. It can be a natural thing. Yeah. Everybody do this. Okay. There used to be an old rock song that said, yackety yak, don't talk back. Okay? I'm telling you, yackety yak, don't clap back. Everybody say, Lord, help me not to clap back. Because if you really go, and it can be, it's crazy in the natural not to clap back. It means to, don't retaliate, don't seek revenge. Watch this. But here's the thing that can comfort you in it. God does not say it wasn't wrong. God doesn't say they don't deserve to get it. God does not say that everything they did was right. God just tells you, don't you clap back. God said, I will do the clapping for you. That's what God, I'm going to handle this. God says, I got this. Amen. So the issue is not about not about what's going to happen with them. The issue is God says, I don't want for you to walk in the love of God. You don't retaliate. You don't seek revenge. Allow me to fight your battles. Look at Romans 12, 19 through 21. And I'm going to read the New Living Translation. It says, dear friends, never take revenge. Oh, Jesus. Come on, everybody say, Lord, help me to do the word. And your word says, I'm supposed to never take revenge. Dear friends, never take revenge. Leave that to the righteous anger of God. Okay? Now I'm not sure if I could tell you all this, but one of my biggest questions in the scripture, you know, a lot of people say everything in the scripture is really clear. You know, the Bible clearly says, well, if everything the Bible clearly said, you wouldn't need to pray, you wouldn't need to get interpretation, and how could you hear without a preacher? So there's a lot of stuff the Bible don't clearly say. Now, there's one question I have. I'm going to talk to y'all. Don't judge me for it. I'm very serious about this. There's a question I have, because with all this love that Jesus told us to have, he flipped some tables. Now, I'm just telling y'all the truth. It ain't no sense to act like it ain't there. It baffles me. Because I've been like, Lord, I want to flip some tables. I want to flip some tables. I want to flip some chairs. I want to flip some pews. Okay? But I can't do that.
God loves you, and there's nothing you can do about it. He loves us perfectly and unashamedly. Bishop Herbert Bailey encourages you to believe God's unexplainable, crazy love that he has for you. Order this powerful series today on CD or DVD. You may also get the MP3 download. Just call 1-877-798-LIFE or go online to rightdirection.info. Order Believe the Love.
As we continue to socially distance, be sure to stay connected with us online. Stream our services on Facebook and YouTube, as well as rdci.info via the Watch Live tab. Sunday morning services are at 7:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. on YouTube, Facebook, and our website. Wednesday Bible study airs at 12 noon and 7 p.m. Friday, Women's Bible study airs at 12 noon via Facebook Live. Consider connecting with us as a partner or an iChurch member. More information about our partnership and iChurch member services can be found on our website at rdci.info. For consistent updates and encouragement, connect with us on social media through Facebook at Right Direction Church International and on Twitter and Instagram at @TheRDCI. Right Direction Ministries, transforming lives and impacting generations.